racing to the first tee, knowing what fun it will be. Soon the starter will call me to the first tee.
A big welcome to the Grill Room, powered by Vertical Groove Golf, the absolute new face of golf. Hi, I'm Bob Bubka, proud to be here with Jay Randolph Jr., much better known, though, as STL Golf Geek on Twitter. Jay, some big news coming out of the PGA Tour today in their annual State of the Tour press conference at the Tour Championship.
Yep, once again, Bob, they're massaging the FedEx playoffs. They announced some changes to the Tour Championship and other events, and according to the PGA Tour, it's all about the fans, but boy, that money is going up, Bob.
We'll get to that in just a little bit. You know what? They did announce major changes, and I think what we'll do, why don't we just listen to PGA Tour Commissioner Jay Monahan, and then we'll try and dissect what he has to say.
We'd like to make three additional announcements today. Number one, and most importantly, a simplified strokes-based scoring system at the Tour Championship that crowns a singular champion. Win the Tour Championship, and you are the FedEx Cup champion. It's that simple, and we have no doubt it will create a compelling, dramatic conclusion for the Tour's ultimate prize. Two, a $10 million Wyndham Rewards-sponsored bonus where players will be rewarded for their outstanding play during the regular season prior to the start of the FedEx Cup playoffs. And finally, including the regular season bonus program, next year you'll see a doubling of the FedEx Cup total bonus money available to players from $35 million to $70 million. We're thrilled with these changes put forth today. In fact, it's been a long time coming. And we've really looked forward to this day. But you take these changes and you combine them with the new and improved schedule, and we think this is a significant step forward for the PGA Tour.
Well, I got two things. Let me lead off after listening to that. For the first time now ever on the PGA Tour, we're going to have a handicap tournament. We've never had a handicap tournament as long as I've been covering golf. But as the illustration by Jay Monahan was put out, the leader in FedEx Cup points, he's going to start at 10 under par before he tees off. Number two, you're going to have a 72-hole tournament, but you don't get anything for winning that one. You have to win the FedEx Cup in order to get something. So a 72-hole tournament with no winner and a handicap tournament for the first prize. I'll tell you what, I got a little ahead of myself because of, being a little bit excited about what's transpiring. I apologize, Jay. I'll tell you what, let's start with, number three first. FedEx Cup money doubled. $10 million was not enough for these players to get them excited. So the purse goes from $35 million to $70 million. When's it going to stop, Jay?
Well, I think it's a great example of how much money this business, the PGA Tour, makes. When you just decide that you're going to double the overall prize money, you know, it's different if it's $200,000 to $400,000. This is $35 million to $70 million. What everybody should do right off the bat is think of that and then think about how much money they must make because, you know, they're supporting that Champions Tour. It's not supporting itself. So think about that's an unbelievable amount of money, Bob. And then they get Wyndham to come and put in $10 million for them.
Well, let me put it an example that may illustrate what I'm a little upset about, all right? Padraig Harrington, all right? Three major championship wins, all right? Somebody next year, if they win Wyndham and they win, the Tour Championship or the FedEx Cup, to be more accurate, they'll earn $25 million for that. Patrick Harrington in his career has earned $24 million. So they're going to go ahead of Patrick Harrington in the span of 2 weeks. I mean, ludicrous.
I know what you're saying. I mean, it was the same way when you look at Sam Snead and what, you know, Curtis Strange made. I mean, you got to have that perspective. I mean, when you say $35 million to 70, that tells you about the loot they got. And I think, you know, things are changing, Bob, in terms of the way we have to maybe look at it. I mean, I don't know whether it's right or wrong. You know, there's going to be a lot of heat on a guy next year when he tees it up on Thursday and he's 10 under par leading the golf tournament. You know, I do think that's going to be a fascinating aspect. I mean, you and I, again, were there when they told us they were going to do this. And we kind of looked at each other like, well, golf and playoffs, you know, at least I guess they're trying something.
Well, let me bring up something, Jay, because listening to you, a light bulb went off in my head. And you directed my attention to, boy, if they're throwing around or have access to this kind of money, what's coming in on their end? I think what's coming in on their end, and they're betting on it, pardon the pun, but I meant to say betting, is the fact that Jay Monahan in this press conference went way out of his way to say that golf will be the number one sport that's going to be wagered on since the Supreme Court passed legalized gambling in the United States. And then he very nicely tied in ShotLink with all the data that ShotLink has. And when that becomes a subscription service, you get it for free now, but if you want to bet on golf, you're going to have to pay for ShotLink. And I'm seeing dollar signs after dollar signs for the PGA Tour. And maybe that's the genesis of where all this extra money suddenly is coming from.
Let me tell you, that's a good light bulb you got, my friend, because you and I remember when this whole kind of gambling thing came out and the PGA Tour, I mean, they didn't endorse it, but they almost promoted it. And I think, you know, we've seen what they've done, creating their own tee time platform to try and, you know, to try and disrupt Golf Now, which is one of their partners at the Golf Channel. I mean, it's amazing the amount of money that's out there. And you have to wonder a little bit with all of the sponsors right now to be able to say, hey, we still got Tiger. And then we got Dustin and Jordan and Justin and Jason. I mean, it's an unbelievable time in our game.
It really is. And, golf and gambling, they've tried to keep those two things, separate for, you know, they wanted the Grand Canyon between them. They didn't want gamblers associated with golf, and now they're climbing into bed with gambling. Pretty amazing. I'll tell you what we do. Let's give a listen now to Andy Pazder, the Chief Tournament and Competitions Officer for the PGA Tour. He explains the new changes set to begin in 2019. By the way, that's 2 weeks away, so don't think we're talking about something long down the road. He talks about the new schedule and how it's going to work under the current system, how anyone in the top five FedEx Cup points coming into the Tour Championship, who wins the Tour Championship, will win the FedEx Cup. Let's give it a listen.
The field sizes for the playoffs, we will begin with 125 players at the Northern Trust. We'll cut to 70 at the BMW Championship before bringing our top 30 players here to Eastlake. Instead of a points reset at Eastlake, we will be implementing a strokes-based system. We will base it upon the standings through the conclusion of the BMW Championship, and all 30 players will be assigned a FedEx Cup starting stroke value. So the leader of the FedEx Cup coming into Eastlake will be assigned a starting score of 10 under par. The player in second place, 8 under, on down through 7 under, 6 under, 5 under, through fifth position. After that, in increments of 5 players, 1 less stroke under par, players 26 through 30 will begin at even par. So you'll ask yourself, why those stroke values? Our objective was to assign strokes values that as closely as possible approximate the win probabilities that our current system provides. And that was something that was very, very important to us. Again, we feel like we do crown deserving champions. We do have a system that creates drama, and we wanted to continue with that. So every viewer, every spectator, and every player on the golf course will know precisely where they stand at any moment in the competition as it relates to winning the FedEx Cup. This also has the effect of placing a much greater weight and greater premium on your performance in the regular season. Going from 4 events to 3 events in and of itself means you need to be better positioned coming into the playoffs. Adding in a strokes-based system at Eastlake even enhances that further.
Here's the amazing thing when I listen to that again, and I've listened to it several times since I had the opportunity originally this morning, Jay. If you finish 30th, you start the tournament level par. You finish 29th, you start the tournament level par. 28th, level par. 27th, level par. So there's no difference between finishing 30th or 27th. Doesn't seem fair.
Well, and I think his ending there, with this being a motivator for guys to play more, that doesn't jive with me. Guys are going to play where they want to do and pick their schedule the way they want. Now, down the stretch, if a guy looks and he sees that he's 27th and he knows he could jump to 22 and be at 1 under or 2 under for the championship going in, I guess maybe he'll do it. I think it's a lot of pork chops smothered in pork chops. I mean, it just, you know, we're going to have to see it play out. They think it's a good idea. I'll be curious. We're going to hear from some players in a little bit. I mean, this is a big change. There's no question about it. And, you know, until we get a run through, like you said, starting in 2 weeks, I don't know that we're going to know. I want to know the guy that came up with the term stroke-based system, because he probably makes a whole lot of money.
Yeah, he's a creative genius. Under the normal way things would be run, you want your players to play more, so you pay them less, so they have to play more to earn more. Under this system, we're going to pay you more to play more. Guys get a certain amount of money, and pretty soon they say, hey, I don't want to play anymore. I can't spend the money I have now. You know, you got to remember, not everybody out there is a Jay Randolph or a Bob Bupka. They reach places where they can't spend all that money. Anyway, all right, Jay, you mentioned that we're going to hear from the players. Here's something pretty interesting. Justin Thomas, he talks about the implications of starting a tournament 10 strokes behind the leader.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's something that's very, very weird and going to be hard to get used to, is you're going to be starting, you know, farther back. And I think that was something, you know, we talked about. It is different, and it's never going to be perfect. No system in any sport is ever going to be perfect. And the tour has done such a great job of talking to us and trying to get it as good as possible. But it's just hard to understand the fact that you could be starting behind somebody else and still somehow win a golf tournament or an official win. So, you know, for how much pride we take in our wins, you know, I think that that's something that's going to be a little different, but it's definitely going to be weird. I mean, you could be just shot out of the tournament, really, because if you start, you know, 9 or 10 back, 8 or 9 or 10 back, and you go shoot a couple over the first day, I mean, your week's realistically done. So that part's a little bit of a bummer. But like I said earlier, we're just going to kind of see how it unfolds, and hopefully it turns out well.
I tell you what, clear away all the smoke. Basically, what they've done here is they baked a horrible cake with a lousy recipe, but the icing is all money, so the players will, you know, enjoy that cake because it's just like anything else. Hey, you don't like this, but look how much extra money we're giving you. And that's basically the bottom line. They're just throwing around dollars, and it's not going to stop anytime soon.
No, and you're right, Bob. And I don't think we don't care anymore about the money. I remember, you know, you remember the first time somebody won $1 million or I mean, the money's just gotten so out of control. I mean, before Tiger, when you were covering the game, you knew guys that used to take 10 grand for a Monday anywhere. I'll go to Keokuk, Iowa for 10 grand. You know, they'll go play in a pro-am. I mean, Justin Thomas, this kid who didn't even know what to say, you could hear him. I mean, he didn't know how to even digest this change. This is the same guy that said the $10 million that he won last year was a nice little cushion.
Well, apparently it was a little uncomfortable.
It wasn't enough.
Yeah, it was a little uncomfortable sleeping on that cushion, so they made it a bigger one, going from 10 to 15 million. Boy, if 10 million's a cushion, I don't know what 15 million is. We'll leave that up to our listeners to come up with a description for 15 million.
When we return, we'll hear what MorningRead.com's Alex Maselli has to say about it all. You know he'll have a mouthful. You're listening to The Grill Room, powered by Vertical Group Golf, the new face of golf, heard on KTRS, the Big 550 in St. Louis, the Armed Forces Radio Network, Audio Boom, Spreaker, iHeartRadio, or just ask your smart speaker Alexa to play The Grill Room Golf Show, and you'll be connected.
You're listening to The Grill Room.
Hi, I'm Ernie Els. Autism is not game over, it is game on. Get educated and learn the facts. Please learn the early warning signs on our website, elsforautism.com, and talk to your doctor about an autism screening if you have any concerns.
Situated in central St. Louis resides the oldest public golf course west of the Mississippi, Normandy Golf Club. Opened in 1901 and designed by the renowned Fowlis Brothers of Scotland, this old gem has played host to Babe Ruth, Mickey Rooney, and the great Babe Zaharias. History lives and breathes at The Rock, as Normandy is affectionately known. A mixture of long and short holes in a tree-lined atmosphere challenge golfers of all skill levels. The 18th hole at Normandy, well, it's as tough a par 3 as you'll find, measuring 251 yards from the back tee. In 2015, a renewed commitment was made to this unique property under the direction of Walters Golf Management. Affordable rates and top-notch service is what you'll find at Normandy Golf Club. The facility uses a unique dynamic pricing structure that golfers seem to love. If your travels bring you to St. Louis, make sure to make a tee time at The Rock. To learn more, check out normandygolf.com or call 314-862-4884 and enjoy old-school golf at its finest.
Welcome back to The Grill Room.
Joining us now on the Vertical Groove Hotline, he's the founder and publisher of Morning Read, golf's fastest-growing source for inside the world of golf. And boy, do we have a lot to digest here with this opportunity to speak to Alex Maselli. Alex, some big news coming from Atlanta, the site of the Tour Championship, complete revision of how the FedEx Cup playoffs are going to transpire next year. Your initial take?
Well, when FedEx signed the new sponsorship deal, Bob, obviously there were some things that they wanted to see changed. And clearly the exposure to the playoff event was one of those things. So, A, they eliminated one of the events to make sure that they finished in August. And two, they're trying to put more emphasis behind what happens at the Tour Championship. So it's not so, let's be honest, 30 guys, kind of blah. So now they've created a situation where it'll be easier, at least they believe, easier for fans to follow what happens. And I think from that standpoint, there's no question it's going to be easier for fans to follow than the system that they currently have in place, which was, you needed to be a PhD from MIT to figure out.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Forget the fans. The players didn't even know what was happening while they were playing in Atlanta. My concerns, and I'd like you to address them, it's a handicap system, basically, but in reverse to everything that we know in golf. The better player here is going to be getting shots. So let's take it to the club championship. If somebody's a two handicap playing against a four handicap in the finals, the traditional way would be the four handicap would get two shots. Here, under this new system, the two handicapper will get two shots against that four handicapper. That's going to take a lot getting used to.
Well, first of all, I agree with the fact that it's clearly a handicap system, the first professional handicap event that I know of. Secondly, this means that actually you can win the tour championship through this handicap system. It'll be the first time anybody's ever won an event on the PGA Tour through a handicap system. That being said, with the understanding of what they're trying to do in regards to making the fans understand what's happening and follow, it's very, very simple this way. Every fan knows when watching golf, the person with the lowest score in regards to par wins. So this is what they've changed the par depending on who the player is. What I don't understand in this system is it doesn't seem to be equitable across the board, meaning if you're 30th in FedEx Cup points getting into the Tour Championship, right now you're going to be basically at even par. So you can be about 10 shots back. The guy that's at 27th, I think, is going to be in the same boat. So I think there's a little inequity there. Yet, at the end of the day, what they're trying to do is make it so fans can understand it. So in that case, okay. I'm okay with that. The thing that's most interesting, though, is the amount of money we're talking about, if you have a good season now, is pretty expensive. I mean, I cannot believe that you could technically win $25 million in bonus money. Forget the money you earn from winning tournaments, but $25 million, that's a lot of money.
I mean, $25 million probably, I haven't done the math, but I pretty much would guarantee that $25 million puts you in the top 10 all-time money earners automatically, and you could do that in 1 year.
Yeah, that is just a lot of money, and it's obviously a consistent thing. They didn't say how long this deal goes for. I can't remember when they announced the FedEx deal from before. It's probably at least a 5-year deal. So, I mean, it's significant. These players, if there's ever a player that complains about how much money the commissioner of the PGA Tour makes, they should be keel-hauled for that. I mean, these guys are playing for so much money, it's ridiculous.
One other aspect that was announced today, the Wyndham Championship. They're trying to entice players to play in that. There's a $10 million money portion to that. Good idea or bad idea?
Well, what they're trying to do is create value to the regular season. So they are going to encourage players to play more. They are going to encourage players to play beyond just what used to be the PGA Championship, and then there would be one more week, which would be Wyndham, and that would be the end of the regular season. Now what they're trying to do is push you to keep playing as much as you can, because there's a possibility of winning this, $10 million in this bonus pool. Well, again, I think that's a good thing. I mean, you want players to play. You want them to play as much as they can. And you don't want them to go overseas and play. You want them to stay in the United States and play. So I think all these are positives. And the fact that they could find Wyndham and Wyndham's willing to put up this kind of money, I think that's a good thing. It just means that they're, again, just keep talking about how much money there is that these guys can win.
One last thing, and we're talking to Alex Maselli, founder and publisher of Morning Read. One initial reaction that struck me, Alex, is the fact that with the playing opportunities enhanced here on the PGA Tour, it seems like it's going to be harder and harder for the European Tour to entice players to come and play in their events. The European Tour may end up taking a big hit as a result of this.
You know, I mean, we've always said that. There's always been that discussion. I mean, clearly, in the month of August, the European Tour does not have it, the quality players that they have during the year because of the FedEx Cup and all the players that play in the FedEx Cup playoffs here. That being said, they seem to be doing just fine. They have their own pool. They have the Rolex Series, which not only has created buzz for the European players, but there are quite a bit of American players that go over and play in the Rolex Series, if it be the Scottish Open, the Irish Open, the French Open, so BMW PGA Championship. So there's interest by the American players. And really, if you think about it, if you're an American player, it would be great to go over for 2 or 3 weeks to play in Europe, you should absolutely play the Scottish before the Open Championship, and then play some of the other ones. And then when the season is over, they have their race to Dubai, where they have a pretty nice purses both in South Africa, Turkey, and then obviously Dubai. So again, I think that, you know, if you're an American player, you should look at both tours in ways that, make some sense to go ahead and participate in them, because, you know, it's mind-boggling the amount of money between both tours.
Well, often the contrarian, Mr. Maselli, seems to think that this might be a good idea. I like his concept of, if it's better for the fans, then great. I mean, because again, Bob, as I said, the money, and you've talked about throwing it around, the people don't care about the money anymore. I mean, I don't think, you know, with professional athletes and actresses and people, news anchors, I mean, we know they make a lot of dough.
Yeah, we were born too soon, Jay. Just born too soon.
No question. Well, and I think the other thing now that you know, people like you and I are a little perplexed by it. Justin Thomas seemed a little perplexed by it, but I guess, you know, the benefit has to be, we're going to see, we're going to finish this season this week with the Tour Championship and crown a FedEx Cup player, that I guess the only guy in the top five, or the only guys that have a chance for it. And technically next year, all 30 guys will, if somebody went nuts, you know, at even par for 4 days and the top four or five played bad.
Yeah, it does open up some possibilities. The real cherry on this change, as far as I'm concerned, though, certainly is being able to understand it. I mean, coming in to this Tour Championship under this point system, you know,
right,
a guy makes a birdie, wow, he's ahead. Now he made a bogey, he's behind. I mean, no way that the average fan could understand it. Golly, the players didn't understand it. I mean, there were many occasions where a player would ask the announcer as he walked off the course, how do I stand? I have no idea. You know, certainly in golf, of all sports, imperative that you know where you stand, because quite frankly, it affects how you play. I mean,
and the announcer telling him where he stands doesn't understand it, but somebody's looking at a computer telling him the number. I mean, it's been interesting to watch how they've tried to increase that as part of the tournament coverage of these playoffs. You know, whether it's a guy going for the win or whether he's trying to get the top 70. And that's the other change that they mentioned. They're going from 125 right down to 70. And then down to 30. And I think we, you know, the other thing about these playoffs that you and I both agree with, and you know, we're getting into the heart of it this weekend with some big college football games on Saturday and the NFL on Sunday. And even though the NFL's taken a little hit the last couple years, it's still king. And the PGA Tour knows it, and they're going to have their season wrapped up before football starts.
That's probably the main benefit of all these changes.
When we return, we'll have a Ryder Cup preview. Bob and Janice are going to be heading over the pond. You're listening to The Grill Room, powered by Vertical Groove Golf, the new face of golf heard on KTRS, the Big 550 in St. Louis, the Armed Forces Radio Network, Audio Boom, Spreaker, iHeartRadio, or you can just ask your smart speaker, Alexa, hey, Alexa, play The Grill Room Golf Show. You'll be listening, and you'll be connected.
Hi, I'm Ernie Elf. Autism is not game over, it is game on. Get educated and learn the facts. Please learn the early warning signs on our website, elfforautism.com, and talk to your doctor about an autism screening if you have any concerns.
Welcome back to the Grill Room.
Welcome back to the Grill Room Golf Show, powered by Vertical Groove Golf. You know, Bob, we've been talking about, it seems like forever, and next week it's here, the Ryder Cup, golf's greatest event. Whoops, I forget. That's the title of Bob's book, Ryder Cup, the golf's greatest event. He knows it, and I know he's fired up to get back over the pond to what should be an amazing Ryder Cup, Bob.
Yeah, it really should be. And, you know, I was thinking just before we went on the air, Jay, this is going to be the seventh country that I was eyewitness to a Ryder Cup. Seven
wow.
different countries. Now, the main thing that tells you, that I'm old. And number two, it tells you, obviously, you know, I have a lot of airline miles. But it's going to be the first time in France. That should make it very interesting. I like the makeup of both teams. I think both captains are outstanding ambassadors of the game. I'm in a tough position, quite frankly. I'm going to be covering it mainly for Talk Sport over in Europe. So I'm going to have the red, white, and blue. But I can't go too hard on the Europe. Europeans, because the people I work for, they like me to side a little bit with Europe, but we'll wait and see. I don't know. What are your thoughts? What do you think going in, Jay?
I can't wait. I think over the last week or so, kind of looking at the teams, I had felt for a while that the European team might be a better team against the USA. However, the more I look at it, Bob, the fact that they've got five first-timers. Now, the U.S. has three, but, you know, Justin Thomas is one of those. He's played international competition. In fact, he played in the tournament in France at this golf course to get a little work done. Bryson DeChambeau, if he's a rookie, I'm a 32 waist. And Tony Finau, I mean, this is a guy that has played all over the world. So I think that's going to be interesting. The other thing, Frank Nabilo tweeted a picture earlier this week of the grandstand by the first tee. I've never seen anything like it around the first tee. I can't wait to see what the crowds are going to be like and hear your thoughts once you get over there. I'm really fired up. I think this is going to be a great way to end what has been a fantastic season of golf.
Yeah, I had an opportunity to see that grandstand around the first tee. The only thing that I could think of that would be more spectacular than that grandstand is if they made everybody tee off from the Eiffel Tower to begin the first hole. It really is going to be exciting, and it's sold out, and the golf course is fan-friendly, so there'll be huge crowds. It's difficult at a Ryder Cup because there's not a lot of action on a lot of holes, so there are a lot of people concentrated on just a few holes, but this golf course certainly can accommodate that.
Let me ask you this. Since you just talked about your amazing history covering this game, what's your favorite Ryder Cup that you've attended, Bob?
I really have two. I mean, Ben Crenshaw, you know, Brookline, that unbelievable comeback was fantastic. The other one was kind of tough. It was at the K Club in Ireland. You know, Darren Clark had just lost his wife. Tom Lehman was the captain of the United States team. Matter of fact, Tom Lehman left no stone unturned. There was a guy that used to play the PGA Tour, actually did some PGA Tour radio, quite a colorful character by the name of Dennis Trixler. Tom Lehman hired Dennis as the Ryder Cup chef. He's the only chef in Ryder Cup history, cooked up whatever the players wanted. That idea didn't work too good. No chef's been hired for this year's team. So we'll have to wait and see what happens.
Well, a man who knows plenty about Ryder Cup action, NBC Sports and the Golf Channel's Mark Rolfing, here's what he thinks will happen at the Ryder Cup.
Well, I think the U.S. is going to win because Europe has some gaps in terms of the strength of their team right now. Jim Furyk's captain's picks were no-brainers. He really didn't have much of an issue in front of him as to who he was going to fill out that team with, whereas Thomas Bjorn had a much more difficult situation. He had to take Sergio Garcia, who has not played well at all. He pretty much had to take Paul Casey when Casey committed over a year ago to play the European Tour to try to get back on the Ryder Cup team. But if you look at the core of that European team, the veterans, Stenson is not playing great. Rose is playing well. McIlroy is playing well. But I'm worried about some of the holes in that European side with the veterans. And if they are going to beat the U.S., they're going to have to get tremendous production out of the top of their lineup, because
yes,
the bottom of their lineup is not going to be as strong, I don't believe, as the U.S. The key holes pretty much in the Ryder Cup, I think, come in two stages. And it's going to be the same thing at Le Golf National. To me, the most important hole is going to be number one, because if the U.S. gets behind in matches or gets behind in the overall Ryder Cup match on Friday morning, there will be an avalanche of support that starts snowball that is going to be very hard to recover from. So the U.S., I think, has got to get off to a good start. To me, the biggest issue that Burek is going to have in Paris is who is not going to play Friday morning, because managing this team of all these superstar players is not going to be easy. You're going to have four guys that don't play on Friday morning. And if you just look at that team, you've got Reed and Spieth. Are they going to go out Friday morning? Yes. Okay, there's two guys out there. Take a look at Brooks Koepka and Dustin Johnson. Will they be a team? I think they will. Will they go out there? Absolutely, they'll go out there. It's likely Justin Thomas and Ricky Fowler are going to be a team. So with Thomas being effectively the best player in the world for the last year, that team's going to go out. So now you've got six players that there's only two spots left for the last match. I guess if you look at Bubba and Webb, do you want them going out an alternate shot in the afternoon? Probably not, but put them on the side for a minute. Finau and Mickelson are going to be a team. I think they are one of the most lead four ball teams that the U.S. has. So then if you put Mickelson and Finau out, that means where's Tiger? You can sit Tiger on Friday morning in Paris. I don't know how you do it. Yikes. I think just the management of the whole psyche of that American team is going to be quite a task, and it's going to be important to figure out really what they are going to do in those sessions on Friday.
That was Mark Rolfing as he spoke to Kelly Elbin in Voices of the Game. To hear this very compelling full interview, which will be available starting on Saturday, please visit GolfLifeNavigators.com. Scroll down to Voices of the Game, where you find Mark's interview as well as many more Voices of the Game. Well, just 2 weeks away. We'll wait and see what's going to happen, Big J.
It's going to be fantastic. People, next week, Bob will be over there. I'll be here. We'll have our predictions for the Ryder Cup. Should be fantastic. Bob, have a great week and safe travels.
Yeah, looking forward to going under the Eiffel Tower.
You're listening to The Grill Room, powered by Vertical Groove Golf, the new face of golf, and heard on KTRS, the Big 550 in St. Louis, the Armed Forces Radio Network, Audio Boom, iTunes, Spreaker, iHeartRadio, or you can just ask your smart speaker Alexa, hey, play The Grill Room Golf Show, and you'll be connected. Well, now you're up to date on what's going on around the world of golf. That's it for this week. You're listening to The Grill Room, powered by Vertical Groove Golf, the new face of golf.
So on behalf of our executive producer, Janice Self, Jay Randolph Jr., and myself, Bob Bupka, a big thank you for being part of our Grill Room family. Please follow us on Twitter at TGR Golf. Of course, you can like us and follow us on Facebook and on Instagram at The Grill Room Golf Show.
Thanks for spending some time in the Grill Room. No need to leave a tip. Just come back again next week. The Grill Room.